Second Chronicles chapter 5 in your Bibles this morning. Second Chronicles chapter 5 and just one verse. And that is verse 13. It came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever," that when the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, gratitude is not a spiritual or moral dessert which we may take or push away according to the whims of the moment. It is the very bread and meat of spiritual and moral health. Gratitude is not a general virtue floating around on the periphery of personality. Gratitude is absolutely central, basic, and decisive in your life. The success and continuity and climax of individuals and nations are determined by the sovereignty of God, and gratitude is the determining factor with that sovereignty. What was the seed of disintegration that corrupted the heart of the ancient world beyond the point of divine remedy? According to Romans chapter 1, the Bible says, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. What caused the young man to leave the comforts of home and go to the hog pen? The unexcelled genius of William Shakespeare never was more brilliantly and impressively revealed than in Julius Caesar. Julius Caesar, on the Ides of March, was being stabbed to death near the statue of his great enemy, Pompey. Among the assassins, Caesar sees Brutus and speaks three words, "Thou too, Brutus?" It was Caesar who had befriended Brutus when no one else would. Ingratitude is the basic sin of the world. It is the sin of the youth. It's the sin of middle age. And without those rare and beautiful exceptions, old age finds little for which to be thankful. But ladies and gentlemen, please remember, we can never approach God without cause for gratitude. Thankfulness is the declarative mood of gratitude. Thankfulness is the memory and homage of the heart. It's a master force in soul winning. It's the greatest expression of faith. It's the great foundation upon which stewardship rests. It's all thankfulness. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, when a man ceases to be thankful, he is nigh well dead. If there ever was a time for thankfulness, it is today. Our world is coming to an end. That is not sensationalism. That is realism. And every one of us know that. If you are here this morning and not prepared for eternity's greatest moment when you stand and face God, do it today. I beg you, do it today. This is a very simple message. You will have no difficulty understanding it whatsoever. First of all, giving thanks is a good thing. Go with me to Psalm chapter 92. Psalm 92. And look at verse 1. The Bible says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Giving thanks, ladies and gentlemen, enriches the grateful heart. Certainly you understand that one of the indictments against our generation is ingratitude. The Bible declares it, and so does our experience every day of our life. Never has a group of people in all history had more and been less thankful than our generation. God help us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and let's read the first 5 verses here. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And ladies and gentlemen, that word perilous means dangerous times. And we are living in those days. And we know it. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. No wonder the Bible says that it is a good thing to give thanks. It is a duty and a delight to the child of God. And it certainly should be that in your heart this morning. Second of all, to whom should we give thanks? 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be unto God. To the high and the lofty one that inhabits eternity, yet who dwells with one of a humble and a contrite heart. To God, who holds the world in the hand of His omnipotence, the designer behind all designs, the great lawmaker behind all creation, the supreme fact of history and science and philosophy and our personal life, to whom we owe our thanks. I want you to go with me to Psalms 103. Psalms 103. And our family reads this in the next scripture before we eat Thanksgiving dinner each year. Psalms 103 and verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? Verse 22, Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now Psalms 105, verse 1. O give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. And isn't that a joy and a glory of your heart when you do that? Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders, the judgments of his mouth. Third, for what should we give thanks? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And look at verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now go with me to Ephesians chapter 5, just to the left in your Bible a little bit. Ephesians chapter 5. And look at verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to think about everything and all things presents a long list, doesn't it? Well, I want to narrow that down just a little bit this morning. First of all, we should give thanks for blood bequeathed legacies. We are surrounded with testimony of many who died in the struggle for religious liberty because of the toil and the struggle of others. The wilderness became a garden for us. And we need to give thanks for that. Second of all, for trials and tribulations. Job said this, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Trials are designed by Almighty God to work together for our highest welfare. Romans 8:28 says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Let me ask you something. Do you really believe that? That all things work together for your good? If you believe that, do you live like that? Do you really live like that? Do you teach that to your children and your grandchildren? Do you ask God for that opportunity for a teaching moment so you can sit down with those grandkids and tell them that truth that will change their life? Third or fourth or whatever it is, for power over sin. I want you to go with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And let's begin reading verse 13. And ladies and gentlemen, please understand, when you read this book, you're reading the Word of God written for your heart. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you and has delivered you. Next, we ought to be thankful for the Bible. Every word of God is pure. Whenever the Word of God is read and treasured, it breaks the fetters of the slave and it subdues life's fierce fevers. It robs death of its sting and parting of its pain. We should thank the Lord for salvation. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Speaking of his Son and what his Son accomplished for us, deliverance from sin, and, ladies and gentlemen, the fact that he has redeemed us. And then last of all, for victory over death and the hope of something better farther on. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And look at verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. At the cross, ladies and gentlemen, death was abolished. Christ died so that we would not have to die. He gave his life so that we could spend eternity in heaven forever with him. Can you thank God for that this morning? Are you saved? Are you on your way to heaven? And you know better than anyone else. And we can help you this morning if you have not been saved. In a couple of minutes, we will give an invitation and we will invite you to come forward. Those of you that can say, I have been saved, then we want you to make that known this morning simply by being obedient to God in all things. Let's pray. Father, thank you First of all, for the cross. We know what it cost your son. The fact that he walked up Calvary's hill and submitted to the crucifixion and spilled his blood so that we might be redeemed. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for your willingness to go for sinful man and give your life and abolish death for us. Father, I pray that you just might speak to each one of our hearts. If there's someone here that's never been saved, oh, Father, help them to come in a few moments. And then, dear Father, for those of us who are saved, we want to say thank you for all things and everything. And, dear Father, maybe we should make a trip to the altar and just kneel here and say thank you for all that you do for us. Father, we're grateful for your Holy Spirit that comforts us and helps us as we go through difficult times in our life. Father, thank you for these wonderful people that you have brought together and established this church. And dear Jesus, we just think that you have done a wonderful job because we need each other and we need to be thankful to you for your wonderful works in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen, please.